So you didn't like the sermon? An exposition of Jeremiah chapter 26, verses 1 through 24. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday evening, July the 27th, 2008.
Seems like every few years, one of them comes along, the kind of thing that catches everyone's attention. One of those high-profile stories that everyone's aware of and everybody talks about, and often there'll be a headline connected with it, something like this, Trial of the Century, right? Some of you will remember, some of you will remember from history class, others of you might have memory of it, but in the 1920s, there was a thing called the Scopes Monkey Trial. You remember Williams Jennings Bryan and Clarence Darrow squared off in that great debate between creationism and Darwinism, and that the whole nation was caught up in that. Then in the 30s, it was the Lynchburg kidnapping and the taking of the Lynchburg baby and the trial that followed that. And everybody in the country knew about it. In the 1970s, people sat around their television set as the Watergate hearings unfolded, and everybody watched every day and they knew everything that was going on. And then, of course, we remember the media circus called the O.J. Simpson trial. Those things that catch the whole nation up. Everybody has an opinion about it. And everybody wants justice to be done, but there's a lot of disagreement about what justice is in those circumstances. Trial of the Century. There have been all kinds of them, but there's one in particular, another very high-profile case that really caught my attention, still does, because it's about a congregation who took their pastor to court, and they demanded the death penalty. Our text tonight's in Jeremiah chapter 26. Jeremiah is called of God to deliver another one of those difficult messages. That was his lot in life. That's what he was given to do. He was set aside from his mother's womb to be a prophet. And God said, I'm going to use you mightily, and I knew you before you even formed, and I made you for this very purpose, and you're going to be my spokesman. By the way, your message is going to be a message of judgment. And you're going to preach, and nobody's going to listen. You're going to call the nation to repentance, and they don't want any part of that. And you're going to have to do it for four decades. You're going to have to spend 40 years preaching this. And while you preach, there's not going to be any repentance. There's not going to be any revival. And they're really not going to like you at all. But that's what he was called to, and that's what he was faithful to. When we come to chapter 26, we have another of those sermons. In fact, there's a possibility that what we have is a retelling of one of the stories from earlier. Because chapter 26 is the same as the sermon preached in chapter 7, his famous temple sermon. Now, whether this is the same event, just told from a different perspective, because in chapter 7 there's more detail about the sermon itself and what he actually preached, whereas in chapter 26, the emphasis seems to be more on the reaction of the crowd. So it may be just a retelling of that one sermon, or he may have, like all good preachers, repeat sermons. Had a seminary professor, somebody asked me one time, is it really okay to repeat a sermon? He said, if it's not worth repeating, it wasn't worth preaching in the first place. So it may be that this is just his preaching one of his sermons that was a stock sermon that he used on multiple occasions, or it might have been the same one. The issue is he preached God's judgment, but he preached it like it ought to be preached. He preached law and grace. He laid down for them, here's God's word, here's what God calls you to. Here is his message of judgment, but if you will repent, here's his grace. Here's what he demands of you, and if you don't do that, this is what awaits you, but if you will repent, here is the grace that will be extended to you. But they didn't care for his sermon. They didn't like what he had to say. They didn't care for the sermon at all. So we walk through chapter 26. Here's what I want us to see. Jeremiah's experience with an enraged congregation reminds us of some valuable truths. They got really angry in response to his sermon. And as we follow along, we're going to learn some things about preaching and living the gospel in a hostile environment. There are things to be learned from his experience. There are those times when we wonder, why is this in the Scripture? There are those times we're reading things in the Old Testament saying, why is that there? That just doesn't seem to fit. That just doesn't seem to relate to me. But Paul says, these things were written for your benefit. These things are written for your instruction. You are to learn from their mistakes. You're to learn from their experience. So as we look at the experience of Jeremiah, I think we can learn some important things, and I want to point three of them out to you. First of all, in verse 1 down through verse 11, we understand that faithfulness to the Word of God may put you in great danger. If you're going to be faithful to His Word, faithful to preach it, faithful to live it, faithful to share it, it may cost you dearly. Look with me beginning in verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. So that's roughly 905, somewhere along in there, 905 B.C. This word came from the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah that come up to worship in the house of the Lord. All the words that I command you to speak to them, do not hold back a word. It may be that they will listen and everyone turn from his evil way, that I may relent of the disaster I intend to do them because of their evil deeds. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me, to walk in my law that I have set before you, and to listen to the words of my servant, the prophets, whom I send to you urgently, though you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city a curse for all the nations of the earth. The priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. And when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, you shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitation? And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Jeremiah came to preach a sermon that the Lord commanded him to speak. And what's made clear is it is the Lord God, it is Yahweh, it is the God of the covenant who says clearly and distinctly to his prophet, this is the sermon I want you to preach, these are the words I want you to deliver, and don't fail to speak every single word of it. Don't hold back anything. Preach this whole message I'm giving to you. Preach everything I'm telling you. And we find out in verse 8, that's exactly what Jeremiah did. Jeremiah did what he consistently did. He was obedient to the call of God, and he delivered the message even though it was a difficult message to deliver, and even though he knew they weren't going to be thrilled with his sermon. Jeremiah spoke all the words that the Lord had commanded him. And look at the sermon he was called to deliver. He says in verse 3, speak all these words and don't hold back anything so that they might listen and they might turn from their evil way so that I can relent and not do what I plan to do. Now, I hope you do hear in that the Lord is saying, if you will repent, if you will turn from this evilness, I won't bring this judgment on you. But I think if you listen carefully, you hear in the Lord's voice, it's not going to happen. Your relenting, your turning from evil is not a likely thing. That's why I'm announcing judgment. But I want you to understand, there is opportunity. If you will repent, you will experience my grace. But if you do not repent, you will experience my wrath. That was the message he was called to deliver. Now, we do need to understand that Jeremiah is a man of flesh and bone. Jeremiah was a regular man. Sometimes we have the notion that, well, you know, those people in the Bible, they weren't exactly like us, and they had something that we didn't have. No, Jeremiah was a man of flesh and bone. And he's preached before and the crowd got angry. He's preached before and they hadn't liked it. He's had times when he had to preach something he didn't want to preach because he was burdened by what he was having to say. And I think the same thing's happening here. He didn't enjoy bringing this sermon, but he had to obey. And not only did he preach this sermon, he preached it in the temple, in the place of worship when they all came. And I have to believe that the crowd is basically reacting, saying, I didn't come to church for this. I came to church to feel better. I came to church for you to say something to encourage me and strengthen me. And you're laying guilt on us. The Lord said, this is the message you are to deliver. And don't hold back a word. And make sure you speak every word that I have commanded you to speak. And so that's exactly what he did. And what's the reaction of the crowd? The priest, prophets, and the people. Everybody rushed up as soon as the sermon was over. Not to congratulate him. Because they rushed him, grabbed hold of him, and said, you must die. And Jeremiah learned what I've been saying for years. Preaching can be hazardous to your health. It can be a very difficult thing because you don't always please everyone with the message the Lord gives. But he's faithful. And he came preaching the word and it placed him in great danger. He said to them, if you don't repent, then I'm going to make you like Shiloh. Now, what's that all about? Well, Shiloh was the place where the Ark of the Covenant used to be kept. And when they were disobedient, when they broke the covenant, the ark was taken to by the Philistines and Shiloh became a symbol of God's departure. Shiloh became a picture for them, a symbol of them, that God has departed you and abandoned you and you become a worthless wasteland. And Jeremiah said, that's what's going to happen to this city. That's what's going to happen to this temple if you do not repent. Now, they didn't understand that. How does that happen to the people of God? How does that happen to God's house? Their theology said God's never going to allow something like that to happen. But Jeremiah, speaking the word of the Lord, said that's exactly what's going to happen. And they rushed him, laid hands on him, and if it had not been for the authorities intervening, they would have killed him on the spot. But we find out in verse 10, the officials of Judah heard these things, and they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entry of the new gate in the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and all the people, this man deserves a sentence of death because he has prophesied against this city as you've heard with your own ears. They came in and they took control so that the mob didn't rule the day. And so then they charged him formally. He speaks words of blasphemy. He speaks against this house. He speaks against this city. He speaks against this God. That's the charge. If you are faithful to the Scripture, by faithful to Scripture, I mean you're faithful to believe and to live. You're faithful to speak and to do. It may put you in danger. Now, we have enjoyed, as the Christian church, relative safety and peace in the Western world for a long time. But our worldview is no longer the dominant worldview. And as a result of that, it's no longer safe to be Christian in our culture. And so when you are faithful to the truth, it may endanger you. I want to suggest to you that in our pluralistic culture, in the American culture, in the American church culture, if you stand for the exclusivity of the gospel and that there is no other means of salvation than the person of Jesus Christ and Him alone through His death on the cross and the shedding of His blood, you will be in danger. because that is a despised message. Even in the church in our day. We don't have any assurance that everything's going to be all right. We don't have any assurance that we're not going to have trouble in this life. In fact, we're told to anticipate it because that's our lot in this world that is opposed to God and the things of God. Faithfulness to the Word of God may indeed put you in great danger. Here's my question. When that happens, how will you respond? When you find yourself in a position that because you were faithful to the truth, the crowd comes against you, how will you react? Let's look at how Jeremiah reacted and learn something. When falsely accused and threatened, the godly concern themselves with God's glory and the integrity of His name and not their personal well-being. Look at Jeremiah's response beginning in verse 12. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and to all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words that you have heard. Now therefore, mend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that He has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I'm in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all the words in your ears." How did Jeremiah react when he was charged? Understand that he's charged with treason and blasphemy. He's charged with speaking against the nation. He's charged with speaking against God and the house of God. How did he respond? How did he react? He pled not guilty by reason of obedience. I'm not guilty because I simply did what the Lord told me to do. But notice what he does. What does he speak when he gets the chance to speak? His first words were not to defend himself. His first words were not to say, "I did this in obedience to the Lord." What's the first thing he said? He preached a sermon again. "Yes, I came speaking against the city. I came speaking against this house. I've done everything that you're accusing me of, and I want you to understand, if you don't relent, He's coming in judgment. But if you will, He's coming in grace." He preached the very message that got him in trouble to start with. Given the opportunity, what his concern was the glory of God and the honor of God's name, not his own well-being. And I have to ask myself, would that be your reaction? How do you respond when somebody falsely accuses you? How do you respond when somebody says you've done some great wicked thing and you have not done it? You're not guilty at all of what they accuse you of. What's your first reaction? What's your first response? He preached a sermon again. But there's one other thing that he did that is humbling to me and convicts my heart. Look at what he said in verse 14. "As for me, behold, I'm in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you." You understand the context? The context is he is a Jewish man in a Jewish kingdom where he's been accused of blasphemy, which is a capital crime. And he says, "I'm in your hands. You do whatever you feel is good and right." Could you say that? would you have such trust and such confidence in the goodness and the power of God that faced with the real, genuine possibility of death for the sake of the gospel, that you could say to your captors, you do whatever you think's best. Do to me as you will. Then he says, I just want you to know, I simply told you what God told me to tell you. So if you put me to death, then you have innocent blood on your hands. But it's your decision. It's your choice. See, what's interesting to me is he still did not argue his case. He simply stated a fact and left it in their hand. He didn't try to prove himself. He didn't say, you all misunderstand. You all don't understand. I had to say this. He didn't do any of that. Rather, he stood with boldness and confidence and repeated his message and then placed himself in their hand, knowing that by placing himself in their hands, he literally put himself in the hands of God, and he was comfortable there. Because Jeremiah believed that God would keep him if he needed to be kept. And that if he didn't need to be kept, God would be gracious to him anyway. So he trusted. The officials and the people then get together as a result of what he said, beginning in verse 16. Then the officials and all the people said to the priests and the prophets, this man does not deserve the sentence of death, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord, our God. Certain of the elders of the land arose and spoke to all the assembled people, saying, Micah, Moresheth, prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and said to all the people of Judah, thus says the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed as a field, Jerusalem shall be a heap of ruin, and the mountain of the house of wooden height. Did Hezekiah, the king of Judah, and all Judah put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and entreat the favor of the Lord? And did not the Lord relent of the disaster that he had pronounced against them? But we're about to bring great disaster upon ourselves. So they backed off. Jeremiah didn't feel the need to argue his own case. He left it in the hand of God. And when he did, those who threatened him ended up arguing his case for him. And he spared. Faithfulness to the Word of God may put you in great danger. There's no getting around that. We can't sugarcoat that. We can't say that's not possible. But when the day comes that we are falsely accused, our concern must be the name and the integrity of God, not our well-being. Third, ultimately, our fate rests in the hands of our sovereign God. Look with me in verse 20, down through verse 24. There was another man who prophesied in the name of the Lord, Uriah, the son of Shemaiah, from Kiriath-Jearim. He prophesied against this city and against this land in words like those of Jeremiah. So Jeremiah wasn't the only one preaching this. There was another. Another came with the same type message, saying the same word, saying, this is what the Lord told me. When the king, Jehoiakim, with all his warriors and all the officials heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Uriah heard of it, he was afraid and fled and escaped to Egypt. Then King Jehoiakim sent to Egypt certain men, Elnathan, the son of Abor, and others with him. And they took Uriah from Egypt and brought him to King Jehoiakim, who struck him down with the sword and dumped his dead body into the burial place of the common people. There was another preacher who preached the same message with apparently the same boldness, and it produced the same result. It angered the officials. But there was a very different response. He sought his own well-being and fled to Egypt, which led to his death. And Jeremiah records the tragic end of this fearful and fainting servant. So what we have is an Old Testament example of a New Testament principle. You seek to hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. You lose your life, you're going to find it. See what it comes down to, do we trust God or not? It is so easy in a Sunday school class. It's so easy in a personal conversation with another Christian. It's so easy in certain contexts to just glibly speak of the sovereignty of God and to say how comforted and encouraged we are that our God is powerful and mighty and loving and kind and gracious. And this same God who can speak a world into being provides our every need. And we talk about His presence and His grace and all that He's done for us. It's so easy to do that, but when faced with real danger, then faint, and in fear, scramble to preserve our own neck rather than trust in the God who said He would deliver. Our fate ultimately rests in His hand. You can run to Egypt, but you can't hide. And earlier, God warned His people through Jeremiah. When destruction comes, when my judgment comes, don't run to Egypt. There's no peace or safety there. Uriah thought there was safety there. There wasn't. Common sense would say, get as far away as you can, and they won't mess with you. Common sense doesn't say, stand your ground and preach the same message that angered them in the first place. But Jeremiah trusted God, and God delivered him. We live in a world that's increasingly hostile to the truth of the gospel. How are we going to respond to it? Well, I think we better respond to it by being faithful to the task assigned, faithful to speak and live the truth of the gospel. And when opposition comes against us, and when threats come, and when accusations come, let's be concerned about the glory of God, the honor of His name, the integrity of the gospel, not our well-being. And then see if God doesn't deliver us to His own praise and His own glory. Where is the safest place on the earth to be? In the will of God. Let's pray together.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.